Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. What is up? Happy Easter. Happy Easter. Happy Easter. He is risen. Risen indeed. Yes. Hey, welcome live stream. What's up in the house? And we got Metro as well. Can you make some noise for them? What is up? You guys doing good? Good. How are you guys in the balcony? Like, I can't see you? Come on, we know you're there, right? How are you guys doing? Yes, nice. Nice. Everybody's in the house. Metro, live stream, that's great. I'm excited. I'm excited, obviously, because what today is. But by the way, yesterday was 420. Hold up. Let me tell you why. What were you guys thinking? Yeah, it was my birthday. Yes. Woo! You guys want to guess how young? How old? 45. You're like, really? Yes. 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 You know why? Because brown don't frown. Just write that down. So write that down. It's important. Yeah. It's just true. Stop it, sir. Stop it. I know. This is my good side. Hey. Okay. Hey, so glad you're here. If you're a friend and your family here, you've never been here, I'm sorry. This is what we do. This is how we roll, and we're excited that you guys are in the house. So it was my birthday, and you know, when you're on your birthday, you always are in a different state of mind. Isn't it true? You're like, I'm not going to make it a big deal. Please make it a big deal. I'm not going to make it a big deal. You know what I'm saying? It's one of those, I'm getting older. No, I'm not. You go back and forth. You're in a different frame of mind. But it's very different from when you're attending a party, right? You're going to a best friend's party. It's different. You're more excited sometimes. You're like, I'm free to be excited. I know this person is going to be great. Got friends there. And it doesn't even matter if it's a birthday party or any party you go to. If you know the person intimately, you're like, I am there for this. This is going to be great. But if you don't know them that well, it's kind of strange. Like if you go to a party of any kind, and you don't really know the person. Like, you are the date. You're the plus two. You know what I'm saying? You're the other one. You're like, I'm just going to go along just to go along. It's kind of a weird state of mind, isn't it? You're like, I'm there, but I'm not really there. I hope I have fun. You're like, who's going to be there? You know, how is it going to work? You seem just disconnected. You are super happy for the person, of course. You know? But you're like, I'm not really connected to this baby. Why am I connected to this baby? Or maybe it's not the guys. The guys are like, why are we even here? This baby shower. Why do we do this? Are we bathing the baby? Like, that's what I thought it was in the beginning. I was like, what are we doing? Showering babies? Anyway, so you're disconnected. You're disconnected. Here's why I bring this up. You're like, what is going on here? Why are we doing this? Why are we talking about this? It's because I think when you think of frame of mind, I wonder what's the frame of mind when you come to an Easter celebration, like an Easter service. You know, I think for some of us, we are so connected to the person of Jesus. You're like, I know his last name. It's Christ. You know, like it's all, I know him. He's my homie. He's my bro. He's my Lord. He's my all of those good things. And you're like, I am connected. I'm here. This is a party. This is a great weekend. You're here for that. But for others of us, maybe you're like, I don't know the person. Like, I heard about him. I know I'm like distantly related. I'm a little too far away. Maybe even I'm too far. I used to know him. I used to. Because, I mean, back in the day, we used to talk, but we don't talk anymore. And now it's kind of awkward. I'm going to this party. You know what I'm talking about? And then maybe others of you, like, you're in a different frame of mind because you're like, I really did have a connection with him, but I just don't anymore, you know? Because you're still waiting on that prayer, and you don't want to bring it up on Easter. You're like, so when is that going to happen? Anytime soon? No? Okay, but it's your birthday, or isn't it? What is it? Is it your resurrection day? It's your rebirth day? I mean, so Christmas is your birthday? What? You know what? I'm just gonna come. I'm gonna dress up. I'm gonna wear all the pastels I have, and all the bright colors. Yeah, yeah. You're welcome, right here. You're welcome. This is it. Yes, I'm bringing up the shirt. And like some of you guys, are like, please address that. Yes. This is it. This is my Easter shirt. Easter all year long. This is it. Yeah, we get excited about this. But if you're not connected, you don't understand, and maybe you just feel like, I just really can't get into it. Because you've heard a story about Easter, right? Because people have written stories about, this is the story that we've been telling us about Easter. What is it? It's about Jesus. It truly is. Now, what's really profound about this is that I think the story of Jesus and the story of Easter is not mistold, but I don't think it's really fully explained really well. And this morning, I just want to remind you or show you that this is actually more connected to us, regardless of where you are in your faith, than you think it is. There's a different story that's been written, but I think we need to rewrite this a little bit. Now, I love art, and I'm an art guy, and so I believe that art has the ability to really set a culture or speak for a generation, a particular generation, and for generations. In fact, I think art, it speaks to our values, it speaks to what we find important, and it actually shapes and writes the story of what we think of, even historically. So the Easter story in art is very interesting. So let me show you a couple of paintings. The first one is going to be a Western art, and the last one's going to be an Eastern art, okay? Now, I'm from the Middle East. Yes, you're like Midwest? No. They don't look like this, okay? So they just don't. So let me show you the first one. The first one is most familiar with, okay? This is it. This is the most popular, this is the evangelical, this is the Jesus we know of. Hey, I'm here, he is risen. When you think of he is risen, you're like, this is it. This is the guy I fell in love with. This is perfect. This is what he looks like. No, he doesn't. No, but anyways, but this is what we like. This is it. This is it. This is Western art. Now, it was informed by an earlier practice, and this, let me show you this picture right here. This is another Easter art that we're familiar with. We are still in the Western world. You're familiar with this and you like this because it's it's about, because he is what? Risen. That's the whole point. He came out of the grave. This is the deal. The stone has been rolled away. That's the message. And wow, he's victorious. He has risen. He's resurrected. All that great stuff. Now, in the Eastern religion though, in the Eastern world, the art, it looks very different. It's a little deeper, and this one's, it's a little older. Let me show you this last piece of art here. Now, this painting right here, this is one of those you're like, I'm probably not going to hang this anywhere in my house. I like the other one. But this one I'm not quite sure. But here you're like, I don't know what's going on here. This says more about the Easter story than I think all the other pieces do. So right here, you got Jesus. He seems like he's standing on these doors that have been ripped open. So what the story is being told here is that that Jesus, when he was resurrected, he did something. That something happened on Good Friday. He gave himself to be tortured. On the third day, he rose from the grave. Not because it was like, oh my gosh, I can't be resurrected, and now I am. Surprise, I'm risen. No, there's something more to the story. In fact, in the scripture, I don't know if you know this, but it tells that Jesus went into the grave and into death itself and released people from prison. So here, in this art piece, he is broken the doorway of hell. He's conquered death itself. And the people, there are two people, there's a man and a woman. You're like, who are those guys? Moses and, I don't know, his mom? I don't know. No. So it's actually their graves. He has picked up two people that represents all of humanity. That's supposed to be Adam and Eve. And he has resurrected them, rescued them out of the grave. And so what this art piece is saying is that it's not just about how Jesus is risen. No, Easter is about how we have been freed. We have been freed from humanity. Let me read you a passage of scripture here. And this is so profound because this is what he's talking about. Now, check this out. So right here, in the first passage is is in Corinthians. It's written by a guy named Paul. And I don't know if you've ever read this before, but here's what he writes. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? See, so often we think the message of Jesus, because it's been written down throughout history, is that, he has done something that we never thought he was going to be able to do. Which you're like, when you think about it, it's not necessarily, like, it doesn't make sense. Because, I don't know if you remember this, but Jesus was born miraculously. Anybody remember that? Anybody heard of Christmas? Christmas, baby Jesus. Anybody remember baby Jesus? Okay, miraculous. So when you have a guy who is miraculously born and then lives his life and does all kinds of different miracles, you would think he's resurrected other people from the grave. You would think he could just do it himself, right? And it's not going to be like, oh my gosh, we didn't think you were going to do it. But there seems to be a story that people are believing, and they're confused about it. What's going on? I think it's all about the message of Jesus. It's not just that, hey, he is risen, and we're just attending the party. We're not really close to him. No, this is a graduation party for you and me. This is more at play here than we think it is. So let me read you the account of Easter. I mean, it's a very familiar passage. It's found in Luke chapter 24. It says this: on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, and this is awesome, it says, why do you look for the what? Living among the what? Dead. Metro what? Living among the dead. He is what? He's not here. He has risen. And stop right there. Now, to there, we stop and we go, he is risen. Let's take that. Let's put it everywhere. He is risen. He is what? Risen indeed. But the angels are like, so what are you doing here? Because the attitude is this. It says, remember he told you, remember that? He told you while he was still with you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. The angels are like, what are you doing here? Why are you freaked out? Because the women are like, someone stole the body. And the angel's like, didn't he tell you that he was going to be doing this? I mean, again, the guy did all these amazing miracles. Resurrecting from the grave shouldn't be out of your, it shouldn't be reaching. It shouldn't be. But they're like, No. I think the beauty is he's overcome death. He's like, well, he was going to do that. I think the big question here is right, is and the most profound question here is this: why are you looking for the living what? Among the dead. Maybe the question is, Easter is about asking God, saying, hey, why are you looking for things, for life in dead places? Why are you looking for things that give you life and sustain you in dead things, in relationships that are just dead, in job? Why are you looking for things that are so temporary that are going to die? Why are you looking for this career, this person, this position to give you life? Why are you looking for life in dead places? Why are you doing that? And then it's like, and he's not here. Like, God's not in that. He's not here. He is risen. He has done something, and that you and I need to take part in that. But I think so often, guys, the story of Jesus has been written, and in Easter has been written in such a way that we just misunderstand what it's all about. You see, fundamentally, I think the message of Jesus, salvation, Easter, resurrection, all of those things have been written in such a way that they've been said, well, salvation is this call to evacuate earth for heaven. Like, that's the message. Guess what? What's going to happen, right? One day he will rise. Guess what? We're going to rise. We got we got mansions in heaven. Remember those? We got crowns. I don't know if you guys know this. We got crowns. We got streets paved in gold. I mean, that's the deal. We're going to be raptured up. It's going to go. That's going to happen. Hey, that's the big deal. We are looking forward to that. That's happening there. And I'm not quite sure if that's the message. I'm not quite sure. Because I know that so often we think it is, that salvation is a evacuation plan. It's a call to evacuate earth for heaven. But if you read the teachings of Jesus, it's not. It's actually a call to transform earth with heaven. Like, that's what he's saying. He's saying, that's what the angels were like, oh, what are you guys doing here? You know he was going to do this. You know there's a game plan, right? You know he's going to be resurrected and he's going to come and then he's going to leave. You know this, right? Because to them, they were like, well, if he's risen, why are we still here? Because aren't you going to rescue us? Aren't you going to deliver us? Because that's what they thought. And so often, that's what we think. God, we're going to be rescued. We're going to be gone. Let's leave earth. But the message of Jesus is like, hey, no, it's not an evacuation plan to leave earth for heaven. No, it's a transformation plan to invade earth with heaven. I wonder if we know this, if we're reminded about this, that Easter is a call for us to live a free life, a life that's full of wonder, a life that anything is possible in our lives, a life that frees us from this common existence. Jesus lived an uncommon existence. He was born in an uncommon way. He lived an uncommon life. He died an uncommon death, and he was resurrected in an uncommon way. And it's the same story for us. We have given this opportunity to do the same, to be born again in an uncommon way. We've been given this access to eternal life, this life of heaven, this open heaven situation. We've given the chance to be actually dead to all the sins in our life and all the shortcomings of our life, and to be dead to all the control of other people, and to live this new life, and then to be resurrected, not just earthly, but also spiritually. See, that's the message of Jesus. It is our graduation party. Yes, it's all about Jesus. Do not misunderstand me. But friends, this is not like, hey, if the goal was, hey, I'm just going to conquer death for everybody and it's over. If that's the party is over, then guess what? When he did that, we should have all died. It was over. He did it. But the people are going, hey, why are we still here? Because there is so much life to live. I love this one passage, this writer in Romans. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives where? Lives, help me out, lives where? In you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. And if you've been to Mosaic long enough, you've probably heard our benediction. It's from Ephesians 3, and it talks about again, and we'll read it again, obviously, but it says, it reminds us again and again and again that there is a power, there's an access to a power that we have received to not live a life that's normal, that we have been given this power, the same power that we are able to do and partake in and have access to incredible peace and purpose and protection in our lives. All the P words, you know? Like, we've been given all of those because of his power that works within us. And friends, if there's anything that I would want to challenge you in, is to not live the common life. Not let Monday be the same Monday, the same things, because I believe that some of us, you've written a story about your life and you need to rewrite it, or you need to start again, or break the cycle of this storytelling that you've been telling yourself or you've been hearing from other people. You just got to break that. And if you don't do anything else, the picture of Jesus breaking hell itself, breaking death itself, breaking decay itself, breaking limitations itself, breaking all of those things should be a sign to us that we have an opportunity to break the things through his power and live an uncommon life. So yes, you have failed, but guess what? There's a chance that it still can work out. Yes, you've got all kinds of diagnoses, but you know what? You know what? I'll tell you what. I'm just going to believe that God is able to do immeasurably more. I'm just going to believe that God can heal you. I know that you've put your heart out there and you've been heartbroken, but I believe that there is a relationship for you. I know you've tried again to get pregnant, and it's just so taxing and it wears on your soul. But guess what? I don't want to write you off because I can't. And if Easter is anything, you can't write yourself off. You can't. You just can't do it, regardless of your situation. You cannot do that. If Easter doesn't mean anything to you, it should mean that. Friends, we have access to something that we did not have before. We have access to his unlimited power and grace and spirit. Man, that should free us. That should set us free. But you know the picture of this idea of us moving out of our normal decaying thought process, the things that have been written out of us, all of those, moving out of that. The grace picture, I think, is when Jesus resurrected Lazarus. So now we're moving from Jesus' resurrection to a normal person's resurrection. So if you know the story of Lazarus, he dies. Jesus is late, not just to the funeral, but to the actual burial. That's when you know you're late. I mean, the party's over, lunch is over, it's all gone, it's all done. Where is he? No, everybody is gone. What happened? Well, it was 4 days ago. I mean, you know the whole God is never late? I don't know what you're smoking. Like, what is that? He's always late. He's always late. I think so. And you're like, oh, that's not, you shouldn't say that out loud. But I thought it. I think it all the time. And guess who else does? You. You're like, why are you always late? He knows that. You know why? Because God doesn't have time. It's like, I don't have a watch. Anyway, whatever. So you got this story, right? So this is what happens. So I'm going to read you this passage. Jesus is late to the death. He has been there dead for 4 days. He's talking to his sisters. The sisters are like, so what are you going to do? He's like, I'm going to resurrect him. He's like, I don't think you want to do that. You don't want to do that. And they actually say this. They say this. It's what's written down. They go, he smells. It's just your brother. He smells all the time. No. He's decaying. He's decaying. There's a huge stink. Whatever. I don't know why they put it in there. So Jesus is like, just do what I tell you. Just go for it, okay? And then he says this. Didn't I tell you that you will see God's glory if you believe? So they roll the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, and I love this prayer, okay? Because it's ironic. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's sarcastic, but here's what's funny. Okay, it says, Father, I thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, because apparently they're clueless. They don't, but because they will believe you sent me. If this hasn't proven, like all the other things he's done. And then Jesus shouted. What did he shout? Help me out. What did he say? Okay. So shouting means like high volume, like crazy. So at the count of three, you're going to shout, Lazarus, come out. Okay? So 1, 2, 3. Lazarus, come out. Nice. Okay. And then what happened? The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told him, unwrap him and what? And what? Let him go. Now, could it be possible? Could it be possible? Because it was there. Or how is it possible for a dead person to hear before he's alive? Like you're dead. I mean, you think you need to be alive to hear, right? I'm not a doctor. But I think that's how it works. Could it be possible that in your death, the things you've written yourself off for, the prayer requests, the dreams, the ideas, the hopes that you have, all the things you've written off, all things that have been decaying, not for 4 days, but for 4 years, all of those things in the midst of that moment, in the midst of that season of your life, they are dead. There's season in your life. There's a thing in your life. There's an area in your life that is dead. And in the middle of that death, you hear a voice that says, come out. Julie, come out. Ryan, come out. Christopher, come out. Andrew, come out. Kristen, come out. Come out. Come out. Could it be possible that in the middle of your death, God is saying this morning to you, come out. Come out. You're going to live again. You're going to live again. And I love the picture of he comes out and he doesn't even know. He's all wrapped up in all kinds of things. And then he says, hey, get rid of the grave clothes. Unwrap him. Break all those things off. Remove all those things and do what? Let him go. I think that is a picture of what needs to happen today for so many of us. There's so many things that have been written about us. You've written them for yourself or other people have said about you, but that's the story you have been writing. And this morning, you have to break that. Because in the middle of your death, in the middle of this dying prayer request that you have, you hear the Savior's voice. You hear God's voice saying, come out. There's still resurrection power in that. Come out. Come out, come out. And you've got to unwrap, you got to break off all the things that have been written about you. And so, if you have a pencil, everybody got a pencil, right? If you're a live stream, man, go grab a pencil. Seriously. Because I want you to do something so intentional this morning. But that'll be the one thing that you will remember for the entire year. For so many of us, I think this would set us free for a lifetime. This pencil needs to represent all the things that you've written about yourself that are not necessarily true. They're incomplete. They don't have God in the equation. All the things that, all the words, all the labels, all the things that you have said about yourself, written about yourself, thought about yourself, this represents all the story that has been written about you and for you for to this point in your life. This pencil represents all the things that people have said, okay, I'm going to write this down. And then you have had relationship and disaster take place and you've written down the account of what happened, and it is your past, and it is your present, and for some of you, it is even your future that you have written down. And today, you need to break all the things that you've put on there that are nothing to do with God and the power of God. It's absent of it, but it's Easter, it's resurrection, it's transformation, it's graduation, and this has to break. This has to. I love this passage of scripture here. It says here in 1 Peter, this is the Message translation. It says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a what? A brand, what? Help me out. A what? A brand new life and have everything to live for. To have everything to live for. For some of us, we're like, I don't think so. You do have everything to live for, including a future in heaven and the future, what? Starts when? It starts now. Starts now. So I get it. For some of you, you're like, hey, this is a party. I don't even know the person. I just am here. I'm just showing up. I get that. But you're so connected to this. This is not a party for this other person. This is your graduation. It's not just he's risen. It's you're free. Oh, no, he's alive. No. You're alive. You've been made alive. It's more than that. But it starts with us breaking all the things that have been written about us and rewriting them, allowing God's presence and power to write the dreams and heart and desires that he has, that we have on our souls, and giving us access to live those dreams out and see them fulfilled. That's the power of the resurrection. That's the power we have access to. That's why Jesus has rescued not just you and me, but all of humanity. He went back and saved everyone.
He's given us this power. So, would you stand with me? Would you do that? Metro, would you stand with me as well? I'm so glad you're here this morning. Metro, I'm so glad that you attended there and you're part of that community. You invited friends and family. I want this to be a moment where I know, I believe this. It doesn't matter if it's through video, if you're sitting live streaming, you're like, I'm not really in the moment of whatever. So you, regardless, if you're in the kitchen, if you're in the you're in your living room and kids are running around, if you're not feeling that well and you wanted to make it, but you couldn't make it. Or I'll tell you what, some of you are watching this and you had to work on Easter. You had to work on Easter because people have to work on Easter. But you're watching this just to be faithful and just to be obedient. This is for you as well. This is for you as well. This doesn't matter time and space. God has something for all of us. And so here's what I want to do. I want to pray for us. But I want to pray, and then when I say amen, we're going to break this pencil. And we're going to fundamentally choose to rewrite our story, allow God's hands and His Spirit to guide us. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for our lives. You know, do me a favor. Hold this pencil. Close your eyes and hold on to this pencil as tightly as you can. God, as we hold on to this pencil, we acknowledge the fact that we've held on to so many things that are just not even good for us. They're not true about us. There are lies that have been said about us, told about us, written about us. They're not true. It's thoughts that we've had about how we don't deserve a good life because of all the things that we struggle with. We don't deserve a good life because of our attitude. We don't deserve a good life because of who we are and what we've done. We don't deserve a good life because we've done some things that we're so ashamed of. And we're living in that. And we've used shame and regret and hopelessness and depression to write the story of our lives. We've allowed other people's expectation to write the story of our lives. With this pencil represents all the things, God, that we've held on to, that we have or continue to write in. God, our present situation, our troubles, our stress, our worries, God, even our sickness for some of us, our grief. God, we know that you have given us access to your power. And God, we can break the control. We can break the cycle. We can break the bond. We can break the pencil. God, I love the passage where in Psalms where you say, where the psalmist says, God, I pray that you break the jaw of the enemy and you would strike the wicked in his teeth. God, I think for some of us, God, we need that. We need you to break the jaw of the enemy, the lies that have been told to us, the story that the enemy wants to write about us. God, would you break that? But we, in this moment, we give up control. For some of us this morning, here's our prayer. God, we give you our life. We give you our life. So for some of you, Jesus, this is your prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. I let go of all the things that tempt me to be in control, to the worries. Jesus, today I give you my life. For some of you, you just need to say that out loud. Jesus, I give you my life. I ask you to break all the lies, to break all the cycles, to break all the writing patterns in my life, and to give me a new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.